from WXXI News. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made a few weeks ago when comedian Jerry Seinfeld called ESPN Radio's Colin Cowherd during his show. Seinfeld probably didn't expect to make news, but he did. He said that he doesn't play college campuses because their reputation is too sensitive, always looking to call someone out as a racist or a sexist, too PC. He said they have no idea what they're talking about, not willing to take a joke. That started a fast-moving debate, with Huffington Post publishing an essay attacking Seinfeld for being out of touch, with comedian Bill Maher firing back in defense of Seinfeld. Then Amy Schumer was pulled into the debate when Bill Maher referred to a race-based joke she made a couple of years ago about Latinos. Schumer initially defended herself, but she has since changed her position. So who's right here? Where do we draw the line when it comes to comedy? My guest this hour will help answer those questions. I want to welcome them now. Chris Thompson's here. He's a comedian, among many other things. Nice to have you, Chris. Also here is Pam Wirtz, comedian as well. Nice to have you, Pam.
Thank you.
And Tom Proietti is here, media scholar in residence at St. John Fisher College, has spent a fair amount of time on college campuses and is probably well-positioned to answer
some
of these questions.
About 50 years of my life.
Yes, nice to have you.
Good to be here.
Well, first thing I want to do is kind of walk our listeners through exactly what was said and some of the context. So first and foremost, I want to start by listening to what Jerry Seinfeld said on Colin Cowherd's show. So this goes back a few weeks. Let's go ahead and listen. This is Jerry Seinfeld talking to Colin Cowherd, and this is what sparked a lot of this.
Does the climate worry you now? I've talked to Chris Rock and Larry the Cable Guy. They don't even want to do college campuses anymore.
I hear that all the time. I don't play colleges, but I hear a lot of people tell me don't go near colleges. They're so PC. Hey, I'll give you an example. My daughter's 14. My wife says to her, well, you know, in the next couple of years, I think maybe you're going to want to hang around the city more on the weekends so you can see boys. You know, my daughter says, she says, that's sexist.
You know, it's amazing.
That, they just want to use these words. That's racist. That's sexist. That's prejudice.
Does it hurt comedy?
Yes, it does.
All right, that's Jerry Seinfeld talking to Colin Cowherd. Now, the Huffington Post published a piece written by a 20-year-old college student saying that Jerry Seinfeld didn't get it, that he was out of touch. Bill Maher, on his show, Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO, fired back. He said, fascinating that a college student, a 20-year-old, would lecture Jerry Seinfeld on what comedy is all about. And this is Bill Maher then also referring to that essay in the response. Let's listen to Bill Maher now.
Try to get a clue. In the same letter, this kid cited Amy Schumer as a comic who's edgy, but without indulging in harmful stereotypes. Okay, but what about her line, I used to date Hispanic guys, but now I prefer consensual. Now, I love that joke, because no matter what Trump says, I don't think of Latino men as rapists. It's just funny, because it's exaggerating the fact that Latinos, like almost all men except white guys, are more aggressive when they hit on women. The PC police aren't saying you can't make jokes. You just can't make them about a protected species.
That's Bill Maher responding to some of this controversy. Now, interesting in that he's referring to Amy Schumer there, pointing out the comment, the joke that Amy Schumer did a couple of years ago in a stand-up show in which, again, what she said was, I used to date Hispanics, but now I prefer consensual. And she was criticized by a number of people. So Bill Maher is trying to cite her, saying, hey, she gets it, but now a lot of people are looking at Amy Schumer's work. So what does Amy Schumer do? Well, she first defended herself. In late June, she went on Twitter and said, I'm not a racist, but I will joke about things that you are not comfortable with. She said that, trust me, I'm a devout feminist and a lover of all people. You can call it a blind spot for racism or lazy, but you are wrong. It is a joke and it's funny. I know that because people laugh at it. That's Amy Schumer. Now, she was taken to task by The Washington Post, by Slate, and here's The Guardian. The Guardian criticized her work as racially insensitive. The Guardian writing that for someone who is as savvy as Amy Schumer, she clearly does have a blind spot about race. And last week, Amy Schumer came back and said maybe she was wrong. Here's her newest statement. She writes, quote, I wrote that joke 2 years ago. I used to do a lot of short, dumb jokes like this. I played a dumb white girl on stage. I still do sometimes. Once I realized I had more eyes and ears on me and had an influence, I stopped telling jokes like that on stage. I am evolving as an artist. I am taking responsibility, and I hope I haven't hurt anyone. I apologize if I did. So a lot of interesting comments. I want to kind of go around the room and find out where to begin with this. Chris Thompson, I don't know where to start other than to ask you, are we too sensitive? Is Bill Maher right? Are there certain protected species, or do we need to be careful with where we draw lines in comedy?
I think, okay, so in reference to what Jerry Seinfeld said, he's from a different era. His comedy is funny. I like his comedy. It might not work on a college campus. I grew up with Seinfeld. People on college campuses right now, they grew up with Friends. Saying that it's too PC is kind of ridiculous. I think this is something that people say when they can't say, oh, I can't say racist or sexist things anymore in public without getting shamed for it, which is true. And in reference to the Amy Schumer joke, yeah, it wasn't funny. I'm sorry. Bill Maher is incorrect. It wasn't funny. She realized that. But if you look at human nature, like if I say, I don't know, your shirt's kind of dumb. Your shirt's beautiful.
He's pulling it right.
But if I say, oh, your shirt's kind of dumb, it's got a spot on it, the first thing you're going to do is like, what do you mean it's got a spot on it? And then you may look at your shirt, you see the spot, and say, oh, wait, yeah, there's a spot on it. So her defense, it didn't really hold up. But then, like, when she apologized, that's the thing that held up. She realized that her joke wasn't funny. She didn't really have, she wasn't in a position to make any type of joke like that. And when it comes to jokes that are edgy like that, I'm of the belief that if you are part of that group, it's a little bit easier for you to get away with saying it because you're pointing out the ridiculous of whatever it is. Like, I may do an ethnic joke about Black or Latino people because I'm Black and Latino. If somebody else does it, might not be as funny because it may look like an attack.
Well, I want to listen. Can we listen to the other Amy Schumer clip we have actually, Val? That's the one. Because I think there is an interesting question, especially in her comedy. She is right in that she does play the dumb white girl on stage, as she said. That's a character, and you're about to hear it here in this bit. And the question then becomes, does she use it as a vehicle to point out how stupid racial stereotypes are, or is this just an excuse to get in jokes of a racial tone? Let's listen to Amy Schumer. This is from 2 years ago. She's doing stand-up comedy, but clearly she is playing a character, and let's listen.
I love joking about race. It's like my favorite. I was talking about this the other day. I was hanging out with literally all my Black friend, and I remember I was like, Tamembe, or whatever, tapestry, it's something wild, you know? It's something crazy. I mean, that's why they need Google in the delivery room, I think, right? It's everywhere else, why not there, right? So when her mom was like, I'm gonna name you Tamembo, Google would show up and say, did you mean Jennifer? Tamembe, so I'm hanging out. I mean, we were like mid-double dutch. And I'm just like, stop yelling, we're not at the movies. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you guys laughed at that. That does not always work, I'll be honest with you. I mean, nothing works 100% of the time, right? Except Mexicans. I've noticed. That's the one. Boo, right? Boo, Mexicans. I hear you. You guys are preaching to the choir.
All right, so that is, she's playing character. Chris, you know, you tried not to. You laughed at a lot of that stuff. What do you think?
Oh, sorry. That was funny.
That was funny.
When she started off the joke saying all my Black friend, which is actually pointing out something that's actually true. Like in a lot of areas, like white people have that one Black friend
That makes him feel like I feel good about myself. Right. I've got a black friend.
Yeah, I read stuff white people like three times. That's one of the things. I think it's like number 15. And she's pointing that out and then making ignorant comments about, you know, Temembe or whatever his name is, which is also kind of funny because she's oblivious of what she's saying. So it worked on that level because she already entered it saying, look, I'm an idiot and I'm going to continue being an idiot in this sketch.
So that's not an excuse to get in racial jokes. That's an effective sketch saying, look how stupid racism is. And a lot of people walk around talking about stuff like this.
And what she just did, Chris is alluding to this, is she played Donald Trump in that character. She was, except Donald Trump really means it. Amy Schumer is a comedian who's kind of making the commentary saying, this is what a lot of the prevailing culture thinks. And I'm going to put it out there so that we can start diffusing it. Because once we start diffusing it, it's kind of like one of the best things that's happened with Donald Trump the last few days is we're finally, and the Confederate flag, I think, is amazing, is we're finally having the conversation about race in America. It's finally starting. It's really uncomfortable, but it's finally starting. For years, comedians tried to do that. Bill Cosby always stayed away from it. But then along came Richard Pryor, who blew it up. I mean, he was like unbelievable. And you, Pam, the group, is it your turn?
Richard, I think it is.
Richard Pryor fan?
What do you think, Pam?
I think we're comedians. We aren't role models. We're not raising your children and whatnot. And comedy's a choice. I don't think comedians contribute to racism any more than Ozzy Osbourne caused people to kill themselves, you know? We're performers. If you're that sensitive, don't go to a comedy show. You may not like it. You know, we are who we are. I mean, name a comedian that's really well put together. I mean, there's none of us. We're damaged people. That's why we get up on stage and try to get people to like us.
In fact,
I
just borrowed
minutes.
Two Prozac from them before I came.
We're
available in the middle of the day.
Damaged people.
Listeners, if you want to call the program, I want to hear from you. Are we too sensitive, or where would you draw the line in comedy? And I think our panel, we may agree on a lot. We may disagree on some as we go throughout the hour. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Let me frame it in a bit of a different way here. I want to play a couple of clips that come from what I think is one of the really good shows right now, which happens to be an online show called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Jerry Seinfeld show.
Now, this is his episode with Bill Maher, and I want to play a couple of clips. It starts with Jerry and Bill Maher talking about why Jerry doesn't like L.A. Let's listen.
I feel like you always had a prejudice against Los Angeles.
My prejudice against L.A. is it's not funny. In New York, the cabbies are funny. The garbage men are funny. The elevator guy's funny. Here, nobody's funny except the comedians that moved here from other places.
Okay, so that's Jerry talking about L.A., making a generalization. Later, they're talking about, Bill is kind of talking about American politics, and Jerry cuts in with a question about his underwear. Let's listen.
What kind of underwear do you wear?
Am I boring you, Jerry? I wear briefs.
Briefs?
Yeah, why?
Speaking of slow to change.
Why don't you ask Mark? You've already been overly familiar with him.
I'm sure Mark is wearing a boxer brief.
Ask him. Now I'm kind of curious.
No young people wear briefs.
Okay, so what you have there are two very funny moments based on broad generalizations. Jerry is saying nobody in L.A. is funny. That's a broad generalization. Jerry is also saying no young people wear briefs. Again, those are just... Now, here's the difference between those. This is my idea, and we'll see if the panel agrees or disagrees. The difference between that generalization being funny and Amy Schumer's generalization for a laugh when she said, I used to date Hispanics, but now I prefer consensual, is this. If you happen to be a young person who does wear briefs, that joke doesn't hurt you.
Right.
You know, if you happen to be somebody who's funny in L.A., that joke doesn't hurt you. But if you are a Latino in this country and you are hearing a presidential candidate who is still running second in the polls saying that, you know, most people coming across the border are rapists, you're fighting against that, and a very popular American comic says that she used to date Hispanics, but now she prefers consensual. Obviously, I don't think she means it. I trust Amy Schumer when she says, I didn't mean it as a hurtful thing. But the difference is that may actually hurt you in the way people look at you. And that, to me, is the difference. Generalizations do help lead to some good laughs, but sometimes they can be hurtful. That's
you know what? And I have to throw in here that artists of all sorts, and I include comedians in that, is they're the antennae for the culture. They're kind of telling us, you know, I hear from people saying the stock market today is telling us what's going to happen 6 months from now. Comedians today are telling us what's going to happen over the next 10 years. And they're the ones who kind of are putting the agenda out there, even more so to me, more than politicians do. I think you folks are the ones who kind of set the table for where the conversation about who we are in America is headed. And I would love to hear what you say about that.
Chris.
We are all doomed then.
Your stuff. See, and the comedian never goes away either. So that's...
Yeah, I do kind of agree with that. Like, what's going on now is kind of a reflection of what's going on in comedy. And, like, to your point with, you know, the generalization about people from L.A. or people who wear briefs over boxer briefs, you're right. They don't hurt anybody because you're including... everyone.
Right.
That includes, you know, the LA joke is everyone in LA. And yeah, the consensual sex joke was pretty bad because, yes, if you are being bombarded with negative images, which has been happening to Latinos since Latinos existed, you know, basically since the conquistadors came over here, there's been a negative stereotype about both indigenous people and Latinos. You know, you're bombarded with that for a good 300-400 years. You know, your ancestors are bombarded with it. You get it in school. You get this idea that you're lazy. For some reason, brown people in America have been depicted as very lecherous sexually. Yeah, it is going to hurt a little bit more than somebody saying, oh, you wear briefs instead of boxers.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But so, I think we pick those groups. I mean, mm-hmm. quite honestly, in all fairness, I mean, I'm Italian. And every time I see an Olive Garden commercial, when you get your family, you know, none of us can talk properly. We're all talking like this.
And our necks are
grabbing
short.
Our crotches and whatnot. But yet that's acceptable. And people all laugh and they're and it's okay. And Italians aren't running to the, you know. But so, I mean... Where is the line? Yeah.
You know? But are you saying, Pam, that we are too sensitive about the line?
I think sometimes we really are. I
mean, are you okay with the Amy Schumer joke about Hispanics and consensual?
I got to tell you, I'm not okay with it.
I'm not.
I thought that was... I didn't think it was funny. You know, I think she's extremely talented.
Oh, I will just say straight out, I think she is a remarkable talent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I just didn't find it very... that particular joke very funny.
But I also, you know, I understand that as part of her style. Part of her style is to be shocking.
Right.
And to have it come from a woman is really shocking.
Yeah,
from a blonde
much
woman
more.
Is even more shocking.
Right.
But, you know, she's just, that's part of the shtick that she has
absolutely.
To play.
And we all lived through Archie Bunker.
Yes.
And we're fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We made it through
despite what other people were saying about what's going to happen.
But here's where I think we can be a little more generous in the way we react to some of this stuff. I think of Justine Sacco, who was the PR person who, for a company, she had 180 Twitter followers. She went on vacation to South Africa, and she tweeted as she was getting on the plane, going to South Africa, hope I don't get AIDS, just kidding, I'm white.
Yep.
And she did not tweet that because she is a racist. I don't think at all. I think what she was doing was trying to cheekily make fun of all of the simple-minded people who actually would think that.
Right.
But instead, she got buried. She lost her job. It became a worldwide trending phenomenon. And I look at Amy Schumer with the consensual joke as actually trying, in this same as the clip we heard, making fun of the dumb white girl who thinks like this. I think she was trying. I just think that one missed. I think that one could still hurt people. But I don't think it was ill-intended. And I don't think we have to say, that joke is bad, you're bad.
Right. Yeah.
I think give her a little space.
You know, one of the important things that all media perform, and then you folks as content providers, and Evan as you as a talk show host, and me as a college professor, is we're agenda setters. what we do is we come in and we say, oh, by the way, the next 6 months are going to be occupied by Ebola. Mm. And so we're going to make fun of Ebola. In my case, I'm going to teach about Ebola. He's going to have talk shows about Ebola.
Right.
But it's astonishing the power that we have as agenda setters. And we all have these agenda setter functions. And we also are gatekeepers. We allow certain amounts of information out there. In the case of the Amy Schumer joke, you know, I have to defend her. I hate to say that because I think it's really important that for us to have the conversation about who we
Absolutely.
Are as Americans. Because I just mm-hmm. look around this room and realize there's two Italians,
right?
But there's a Latino African American, and then there I don't know what the hell you are.
You're boring white guy.
he's the older
Swedish
white.
Have you seen that shirt?
Dawson isn't even my real name. It's not a stage name. It's a name they gave my great grandfather.
But just think about the mix that's in here, trying to make sense of
right.
what it is that we're doing. Boy, isn't it great that we're finally having the conversation?
Absolutely.
Because when I think about, I grew up, you know, I was born in 1946, so I had Italian-American grandparents. In fact, I had Italian-American grandparents on the Proietti side. On the Marino side, they were Sicilian-American grandparents mm-hmm. who they hated each other.
Absolutely.
You know, and Americans didn't understand that. So they not only hated each other, but then everybody around us hated them
right.
because they were immigrants and they took jobs and they were successful and they were hardworking. And there were a whole slew of things going on. And it wasn't until this guy named Pasquale Caputo, Pat Cooper, came along in the 1960s.
Pat Cooper.
He's yeah. one of the funniest human beings on the planet, and he's right. still mm-hmm. alive, I think. And he's hilarious. And the first time I heard Pat Cooper, I was dying laughing
right.
because it was my family on all sides, and even talked about the Sicilian-Italian thing. And I think it's really important that we let that information out. Mm-hmm. It's no different that back in the, I think it was 1975 when George Carlin released AM, FM. The mm-hmm. AM side was the old hippy-dippy weatherman. The right. FM side was, watch out, the seven words you can't say on TV. And a whole bunch of other things.
Right.
And there were people who were just so astounded. They wanted to throw George Carlin out of the country.
Right.
And there were people like me who said, wow, this is the most important information we could ever put out there. It may be as important as the First Amendment,
right.
you know, let alone having the First Amendment.
If right. you're just joining us, our panel is talking about Jerry Seinfeld's recent comments that sparked a debate within comedic circles over where the line is. And in our second half hour, we will talk a little bit more about if college campuses in particular are a little oversensitive about it. Seinfeld said he thinks they are. So has Chris Rock, among others. That's why they don't do college shows. They feel like that on college campuses, someone is just looking to call you out for crossing a line. And so our panel is asking, where is that line? Chris Thompson, Pam Wertz, they are local comedians and highly regarded in local comedic circles. I can tell you both that. I met them today, but they came very highly recommended. And Tom Proietti is here as a media scholar in residence at St. John Fisher College, good friend of this program. Let me grab a few phone calls because a lot of folks have been waiting. I'm going to start with Joe in Rochester. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great show today. I just wanted to say, you know, the whole Jerry Seinfeld part of the conversation, I find funny because growing up watching Seinfeld, and I still watch the show regularly, it's hilarious. He's one of the most gentlest PC comics out there. I mean, he built his career on making jokes about nothing. And then for him to be perceived as a little too edgy, it's comical in its own right. And you compare that to Amy Schumer, who is shock value, and she's great at it. She makes several, you know, race-related jokes and plays on a lot of stereotypes. And I find it funny that the Huffington Post article and what you cited was that she was the one who came out the victor between that battle. So I just kind of find it ironic where Jerry Seinfeld, if you grow up watching him, he was the guy who made jokes about nothing and was very irreverent and hilarious at it and poked fun at everyday life. And then you have someone on the other side of it who's the complete opposite and how it's perceived on both sides. Just kind of a comment on that. You know, being a big Seinfeld fan myself. You also look at college campuses and that end of the discussion. That's a whole generation that's grown up on Tosh.0, a show on Comedy Central that is, you know, the opposite of PC. So I kind of find it funny how people are picking sides on who's the better of the two or who's got the better side of the argument. That was kind of my only comment. Thank you.
Joe, thanks for the call. A lot of good points there. And I will start by saying that in that episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, in which Jerry Seinfeld had Bill Maher, late in that episode, there's a moment where they are both complaining about the fact that they think modern comedy is too dirty and too easily dirty, as in, that's the low-hanging fruit, everybody's
right.
dirty, and they were both agreeing on that. So you're right, Joe. Seinfeld has never been a dirty comedian. I think what he's saying is he's feeling like he's going to be overanalyzed, even if he's an observational comedian. He said it when he had Stephen Colbert on his show. What he does best is observe the world, and sometimes he now feels like he's being penalized if he observes characteristics
idiotic
of
idiotic things.
Idiosyncrasies.
I mean, Jerry Seinfeld he could be teaching interpersonal communication at any college, and it would probably be one of the best classes you could ever take, because what he does is he analyzes interpersonal communication, how we communicate with each other, how we perceive each other. Even the conversation about boxer briefs is simply brilliant. Right. You know, and it's brilliant that he could talk to Bill Maher about it, because Bill Maher happens to be not as hip as Jerry Seinfeld when it comes to that. You know,
and
that
had never even heard the term boxer briefs.
Didn't even know what he was talking about.
Right.
Which, you know, I'll even show you my boxer briefs.
Goodness, there's no cameras in studio here.
I'm even wearing boxer briefs.
Oh, my goodness.
Aren't we all?
We all.
Chris, now, when Joe was making the comment about Tosh.0, I saw you say, thank you. What did you want to say to that?
Yeah, I totally wrote that in my notes. Here's the thing. So everyone's ganging up on Amy Schumer because of a joke that she did 2 years ago. Same thing happened to Trevor Noah. He did a couple of homophobic tweets. He did a couple of really, really dumb, not funny tweets or jokes like 5 years ago. However, we've got Daniel Tosh, who has a show which looks like a minstrel show almost. He puts people on who are like of lower social class, sometimes they're of a different race, and just makes fun of them.
Yeah.
And he gets a pass.
He's a meat grinder.
He's a meat grinder.
He really is.
Let's talk about Jeff Dunham's racist puppets. Like, it's the worst episode of the Muppets, every one of his shows. And we're going to gang up on Amy Schumer for one joke.
Well, and this is where, see, I Pam, you're somebody, you said you love Amy Schumer, but you did not appreciate that joke about Hispanics and consensual sex. But too often now, and maybe social media plays into this, when somebody does something that is perceived as bad, everyone wants to bury them. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually glad to see a couple of things with Amy Schumer. I'm glad to see her put out the statement that said, hey, I get it now, and I care, and I'm sensitive about it, and that was probably wrong. And I'm glad to see more people like Pam saying, I love her. That joke was not okay with me, but that doesn't mean you don't like her anymore.
I love her.
Right. Okay. So we have to be able to make mistakes or cross lines. Now, Tom will sit over and say he didn't think that was as much of a mistake, but nobody's going to bury her, I think, unfairly. And I think too often we are so quick to do that. Justine Sacco loses her job and everybody wants to see her get buried for a tweet.
And I think what you're doing is you're bringing up a very important point about social media, is there are people out there sitting with their social media devices, sitting on Hootsuite or, you know, whatever it is they're using, and they're looking for that one thing that they could pick up to topple somebody with, or that one thing that will go viral, because then they can create a business off of that.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's another part of the opportunity. For me, it's another reason why aren't we teaching our 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and all the way, I'm a huge advocate of media literacy. Why aren't we teaching them about social media right now? Because they're learning the wrong way. They're learning simply by experimentation. They're not listening to this show. There's nobody showing them the guidelines to how do you tweet effectively? How do you use Instagram safely and effectively? And we really need to be teaching that.
Right.
Amy Schumer making one mistake, I don't even think it was a mistake, by the way. All I think it was a little bit off brand. Every once in a while, every brand goes a little bit off brand.
Absolutely.
I did it. I was in a college classroom for 44 years. Every once in a while, there were some moments when I looked at the class after I'd said something and said, you know, I really apologize. I just went off brand.
I've never done it on this show. Please don't analyze every minute of this show for 18 months. Please don't.
But one of the things we can ask the comedians, have you folks ever said anything in a performance that you regretted?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Fire away.
Yeah. I've only been doing it for 2 years. I've royally bombed on something that I thought was hilarious. And it was a matter of...
Come on, say it, say it. Let's,
part of the packaging.
Let's put the station license up for...
well, you know.
No, I had
Evan's Evan's getting nervous.
Actually, I had
it's
a
been
joke.
A good run. Time to hang
it's
it up.
It's been a good run.
Go back, ahead,
it's all over now, Evan.
Back during the Ebola scare, quote unquote, of last year, I had this joke that I thought was going to land perfectly. I said that this is... Oh, how did it go? This is the most that America has worried about anything coming from Africa since 1808, which I thought was hilarious.
I've got my arms up in the air. That's just a touchdown.
Just like maybe my audience didn't read American history. Maybe they didn't understand that, you know, we stopped shipping slaves over in 1808. But, you know, it just didn't work. It didn't work.
People are going, wait, War of 1812 started in 1812. What was going on in 1808?
Now, I think a lot of Americans don't know the War of 1812 actually started in the war in during 1812.
When I think that, you know, there's also that, you know, you're a white person, you're sitting there. Mm-hmm. This black guy's funny up there. Should I laugh? Should I laugh at that?
I encourage you to laugh at me anytime I'm on stage.
You get that. I can almost tell when I'm doing comedy and looking out at the, you know, the people that I can see. I can tell the ones that are kind of like, did she just say that?
Should I laugh? The squirmers.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Is it okay?
Well, the one thing, and I've got to get to a break, and then we're coming all back to the phones. Every phone line's lit up. We're going to take your calls for the rest of the hour with our panel.
They're all stand-up comedians, by the way.
No, I don't think they are.
It's all our friends.
But Chris Thompson and Pam Wirtz are. You can see them locally. Tom Proietti, media scholar in residence at St. John Fisher College, is here. And I will just say that I'm always open-minded to where the line is because I'm the middle-class white guy. It's easy for me to tell everybody, you're too sensitive. Buck up. Come on. And, you know, that is easy for me. And I resist just knee-jerk telling people, stop whining, because it couldn't be easier for me. So that's just where I'm coming from. But I'm not saying I know where the line is. I'm saying I'm always open-minded to where the line needs to be. Let's get a break in. Your phone calls next on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson on The Next Connections. It's Education Friday. We continue with our series of the classes you wish you could have taken. We're looking at viticulture and wine. Finger Lakes Community College now offers a remarkable program led by Paul Brock. He'll tell us what he's teaching students, and he's already got some success stories that we will meet talking about the science of making wine Friday on Connections.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from Villa of Hope, offering trauma-informed care for youth and families in the greater Rochester area that are struggling with chemical dependency, mental illness, poverty, and neglect. More at villaofhope.org. And the Wealth Strategies Group at Canandaigua National Bank and Trust, offering financial planning strategies that are tailored to clients' needs. Canandaigua National Bank and Trust, investing in you.
Welcome back to Connections. Let's get to your phone calls. Daniel in Rochester is next. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, guys. This is a great show. Thanks so much for being on.
Sure.
My point is, I think we're letting a really tiny fraction of people define what is funny for everyone else. It's kind of like, you know, if I cook you a dinner and a meal and I've got hot spicy food, maybe you like it, maybe you don't. Well, that's one thing, and I understand that. Some people aren't going to like something. My wife is actually allergic to peppers, though, and it'll make her sick, and it'll actually hurt her. So the question is, do we disallow hot and spicy food for everyone because one person is not able to eat it? That seems to be what's happening here.
That's a good point.
That's a great point. You know, and something I have to say is I grew up in the city, and I went to Benjamin Franklin High School, and I went in seventh grade. It was an experiment. It was a bad experiment. But it really was my first experience with Jewish culture, African-American culture, Lithuanian culture. But one of the things I found out about, one of the coolest, funniest places ever, was right around the corner from Benjamin Franklin, there was a black barbershop. And there were a whole bunch of us, white, black, Jewish, whoever, who would just ask the owner, his name was Willie, I love the guy, and could we just sit in there and listen to the guys talk? And they talked about things I had never heard about before, I knew nothing about. Plus, they spoke a language that I didn't know at all, but I started learning. And it was such a great cultural immersion. And now the Black Barbershop is, it's been in every Tyler Perry movie, I think. Didn't they make a couple of barbershop? Yeah, they made a couple of barbershop movies.
There were two barbershop movies that were really good, and then Tyler Perry.
And they're great movies, right?
Unfortunately. Just ruined the brand. But that's beyond the point.
But I think what Daniel's talking about is an interesting point is, you know, the more we're getting exposed to this kind of thing, and that, again, I have to go back to, I had an experience at St. John Fisher where the president asked me if I would bring in some guest speakers, and one of the first guest speakers I brought in 1970 or 71 was Dick Gregory, who was a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. But he was fantastic at St. John Fisher, and St. John Fisher was an all-male college at the time, and there were 20 priests sitting in the two front rows for the performance. And he was fantastic. He was spot on. He was gracious. He was friendly. And, boy, the president of the college told me afterward, he said, who do you want to bring in next? And I said, well, give me a little time to think about it. And I did bring in George Carlin. Then we brought in Richard Pryor. Well, George Carlin at that time was still Heppy Dippy Weatherman. Richard Pryor came in, and he was just starting to do the edgy stuff. And he blew the place away. And the president of the college looked at me and he said, do you realize there's 5,000 Pittsford housewives out in the audience right now? And I said, do you realize they're clapping and laughing?
Right.
And he got a standing ovation at the end. But he dropped every MF bomb you'd ever heard in your life. And he just laid it all out there.
Right.
And I think we, you know, comics can help us understand so much about who we are and the possibilities of what might happen when the cultures start mixing together.
Right.
Gary writes to us, liberals have no sense of humor.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
That's a little over the top, okay. But he said,
well, I'm a liberal, I'm laughing my butt off.
Tim writes us, wants just to weigh in and say that he thinks that we are, again, all too sensitive. He was laughing at every joke. Gary said, didn't this come up in the 1970s with All in the Family?
Yeah.
So, but I don't think it means liberals have no sense of humor.
I don't think there's any. You
know, I don't think any human classification beings. Of human being doesn't have a sense of humor.
Right.
Do I think some people are more sensitive than others? Sure.
Absolutely.
And I think some of the sensitivity is well-intended.
Yeah.
Chris, Pam, what do you think?
Well, okay. The idea that liberals have no sense of humor. Most of the comics that I know are liberal.
Exactly.
So that's false. I think what he's talking
Dennis
about
Miller's
is when...
Dennis Miller's the only conservative one I can think of.
Yeah, exactly. I think what... and Bill O'Reilly. But I think that the whole thing about like liberals not having
awesome.
A sense of humor, the people who like come out and say, oh, well, that's wrong, that's racist or that's sexist... Those are just a few fringe people. Like right. What we don't talk about is that liberals have like a weird Tea Party fringe too. That anytime anybody says anything that's slightly edgy, they're gonna freak out. It's the same thing on the extreme left. Now you can't say liberals all don't have a sense of humor. That's just as false as saying, you know, all conservatives hate women and gays. Like maybe all the way to the right. Definitely, but yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. He's got to, I don't know, broaden that
he's got
statement.
It's got to be tempered.
Okay, yeah. Well, Gary wants to clarify that he was kidding.
Okay.
Oh.
Thanks, Gary.
And sorry,
right.
Gary.
Maybe.
Good thing,
you
Gary.
Rock, Gary.
We were coming for you after the show. Me and my Italian friend.
Yeah, I know a couple guys from Niagara Falls. $25, they'll make
exactly.
your house into a parking lot.
Let me grab Jenna in Pittsford. Go ahead, Jenna.
I was at a local comedy club with a very funny female comedian. She crossed the line big time. And when she did, I was sitting with the headliner and I was sitting with the middle act, and we all sort of gasped and went, oh, my God, I can't believe she just said that. And it wasn't a joke. It was an interaction with the crowd and a black couple who was sitting in the crowd. And the couple went to the club owner and afterwards waited for the comedian and had a conversation with her and just talked to her about why that particular joke, A, wasn't funny, and B, was really racist. She was mortified but understood, and I felt like it was a teachable moment for her as a comedian that's not something you can say in the audience or ever. And I felt like that was a really good way to handle it. But I have two thoughts about two different things. One is I feel like the Amy Schumer uprising right now is more because her movie's coming out. And I think it's a way to attack her before that movie comes out. And I think that there's a group of people that don't want that movie to be successful. And I think some of them are other comics. And she talked about that when she was on with Howard Stern recently. And she said, you know, Trevor Noah and I have talked about it. And we basically feel like, what's the worst thing that can happen to us? We go back to the clubs. That's where we made our money before. It's fine.
Right.
And I also feel like, to the point that Chris made earlier about the only people who can make these jokes are people within that racial group, that's not fair, because should women only make female jokes? Should men only make male jokes? What if my husband's African-American? Could I not make jokes about our relationship? That just doesn't make sense to me.
It's not necessarily that only black people can make black jokes.
Right.
It's more a matter of the power you have behind the joke. Now, there are plenty of white comedians that'll make a black joke and it'll be funny, but it's a matter of where it's coming from. And it's more of a generalization. I'm not saying that you have to be black or you have to be a woman to make a specific
Right. You're just saying joke. It's easier
it's
sometimes.
It's a lot easier. And to be honest, there are a lot of times that black people making black jokes don't land. Right. Like, some people think they're funny, but if you're just playing up a stereotype, then you're no better than, like, comedians in the early 1900s who dressed up in blackface. Like, they're just
So how do you feel about
funny.
The Wayans brothers turning 50 Shades of Grey into 50 Shades of Black?
I don't like the Wayans brothers at all. Like, I was done with
I'm
them
not a fan either,
after, so after the
in
show,
color.
After In Living
in
Color.
Living Color.
All the movies that they made were essentially
Stupid.
Minstrel movies. They were black people in blackface, you know, just saying, oh, look at us. We're black. We're ignorant. And this is what we do. All of their movies were like that. All the way up to in White Chicks was them in white face for some reason.
Yeah. Right.
It's a
like
white
they're,
face.
It's just they're, that's the type of comedy that's not funny to me. It may be funny
they don't
to somebody
called
else.
Out the way Amy Schumer is.
No, they don't. And I'm honestly, I think that part of the reason why is because their guys in Amy Schumer is killing it, and
Absolutely.
She's a woman. And a lot of people
yep.
like
Thank
to
you.
Just
Absolutely.
Take down,
yes.
just take down, you know, take down the minority. And
right.
Amy Schumer is blowing up on everything.
She's everywhere.
And she's, her minority is woman, but which
well,
is ironic because.
Right. But woman
majority.
In comedy. She's
right,
a minority
a woman
in comedy as a woman. Pam, you wanted to jump in? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that what you're saying is absolutely true. I found the comedy world to be kind of like the bizarro world in the sense that in the real world, you know, guys and I get along a lot better than chicks and I do. So I thought when I entered the comedy
world,
I was going to like,
I would say Jenna probably understands.
You know, I had found mm-hmm. my people and it's the complete opposite. You know,
right.
I think that it's an old boys club. I think that you're allowed to, you know, as a woman to be funny, but the minute you start moving up, there are just so many there that
Trying
just
to
want
to.
And
I mean,
they're
going to
police you and make sure that you're within, you know, because Amy Schumer is being policed right now. And,
yeah.
and again, I'm saying, I'm agreeing with the criticism of that one joke. I'm not agreeing with people who are ready to take her down, to take her out,
right.
because, well, maybe she crossed the line. I think she's handled it perfectly. I think she is
she's
really
awesome.
Doing remarkable stuff.
And I also think, I think, you know, the publicity person in me says all publicity
There's no
is good.
Bad
it's
publicity.
Good publicity.
Everybody,
this
I mean, we're sitting here talking about
great.
It right now.
This is great for her. And I have to mention.
Thanks, Evan. Great show.
Jenna, thank
hey,
you.
Jenna, I have to ask you to watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Jerry Seinfeld with Steve Harvey. Because if you want to see a white guy doing African-American jokes, there's a bit at the end that's just hilarious.
Okay,
it's
well,
just amazing.
Well, right on that point, Kurt in Rochester wants to weigh in with a comment. Go ahead, Kurt.
Hey, how is everyone today?
Good.
Ooh,
great
great panel. This is a great discussion. And really, she stole my thunder, the caller before.
Yeah,
Jenna
you know
steals a lot of thunder,
yeah,
but that's okay.
Women do that. You know.
Yeah, because
keep
I was
her in
wondering
her place.
What you thought about the Chris Rocks and the George Lopez's of the world who, you know, really use their own race as a basis and springboard to their comedy. And and a lot of people say it, you know, while it's okay if a black comic says it, it's comedy. But if a white comic says it, it's you know, borders on racism. I was just wondering about your thoughts on that, backing up to the last caller.
Yeah, it's a great question.
That is a good question. I think there's, like, especially with Chris Rock, I've listened to more Chris Rock than anything. With Chris Rock, when he does a black joke, it's you can tell that he's pointing out absurdity. Like, it's, you know that what he's saying is completely ridiculous. Like Pam said, you know, it's a bizarro world. Like, everything that he's saying, whatever stereotype he's pointing up, is completely ridiculous and not true. And it's up to the comic, and a good comic would be able to point that out, black or white. The problem is, like, you know, you're I don't know, your office comedian who's sitting at a water cooler making a joke about, you know, a black guy going to court is the only time you see him in a suit or something like that. It doesn't have that absurdity to it because he's not like skilled in actually, you know, relaying a joke to make it that absurd. You know,
One of the other things Chris Rock does is he's sometimes so profound it's scary. Because one of the first times I ever heard him in person, he said, "There's not one African American in here who doesn't want to be white, but there's not one white person in here who wants to be black." And that was like it just hit me right between the eyes. And I also realized it punched everybody right between the eyes. He made it funny.
Right.
But it was so true. It's like he goes, "And I'm rich." He said, "I'm a rich black guy and I still want to be white." And it was just a really brutal moment. And I was probably in my 50s then. I'm almost in my 70s now. So,
right.
He's been doing it. Oh, yeah. And he's been doing it for a long time. Yeah, really. Italians age well.
Let's get through as many other callers as we can. Quick question online. Jake wants to know, the line is definitely changing. Briefly, does anyone think that Eddie Murphy or Richard Pryor could exist in today's society?
Yes, absolutely. And they do exist in this society. I mean, Richard Pryor's stuff still plays on a regular basis on HBO. I happened to work for Time Warner and HBO at the time Richard Pryor did, Eddie Murray did Live on the Sunset Strip, and Richard Pryor did Richard Pryor Live and a whole bunch of other things. And I'll never forget the first night my parents had cable. My parents, because I was the VP of marketing, I was able to hook up my parents' house. And it was a Sunday night, and I went over to their house. I surprised them. I went to their house to see what they were watching, and they were watching Richard Pryor Live. And I was like, oh, my God. As soon as I opened the door, my mother said, change the channel. And I was like, no, this is fantastic.
But it would still play today.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, it might even be better.
I think Richard Pryor would. Some of Eddie Murphy's stuff would. But I actually listened to some of Eddie Murphy. Like, I listened to Delirious and Raw just a couple of years ago. And a lot of the homophobic jokes that he did,
right.
They just, like, they were hilarious to me back like 20 years ago, but I listen to them now. I was like, oh my God, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I think there'd be protests and whatnot going on. There'd be those people.
I also think they're very, very positive culture signals in there, and they're very positive cultural documents. So what Richard Pryor, George Carlin, Eddie Murphy, and a whole bunch of others were doing was really kind of, Red Fox. I was 9 years old the first time I heard Red Fox. And my father told me that, when I was about 12, he said, we had to buy Red Fox jokes. They weren't available in stores, in regular stores. You had to drive into the African-American community, and they were then under the counter. You had to ask for them. And he said, if you were a white guy, they were really suspicious as to why you wanted them, because they were worried that you were the police. That was in the 1950s. We've really come a long way, and I think those cultural benchmarks can't be lost.
Peter in Newark. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
And we won't make any Wayne County jokes.
I wanted to say I don't personally think there is necessarily a set line. The point was made earlier that as a white man, it's kind of hard to be offended by anything, really. But I think as long as you make it funny, you can get away with saying anything.
I think funny is it's all relative. I mean, it depends on, that's why there were people that liked Sam Kinison and there were people that liked Stephen Wright.
Right.
I mean, completely different, but funny.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah.
And, Mel Brooks convinced me, or didn't convince me, but I think he made a really good point that Peter's reinforcing. Mel Brooks took the Holocaust and turned it into The Producers.
Right.
And that was brilliant. And I don't know how,
I look at it,
how did he do this and get away with that? I mean, obviously he's Jewish, but even in the Jewish community, I think he must have upset some people.
Right.
I go around to check with people and I have a lot of Jewish friends. There's that line. And Mel Brooks is, just turned 89 years old this week, and he's an absolute genius, and he pulled it off. Who knows?
Well, I've talked to all of my Jewish friend about that. I'm gonna steal Amy's line. All right. So before we wrap up, real briefly, on college campuses, Seinfeld, Chris Rock saying they don't do them too much of the PC thought police briefly around the table. Yes or no, Tom?
Well, I think they don't do them because there's not enough money involved. So it's not worth the hassle, but it's just not enough money involved. And the audience
legit concern though that they're
for Seinfeld and
Chris Rock.
Chris
saying,
Rock, yeah, absolutely. They, I mean,
no, I'm talking about legit
about
concern
PC
about the PC
thing?
Police. Yeah.
No, I think it's I think they're playing a game that's kind of funny and gets a lot of attention and will get colleges to now bring them in simply because they made the statement. And pay them the kind of money they deserve.
Okay, Pam?
Yeah, I've done a few colleges, and I'm certainly by no means, you know, a extremely PC person, and I haven't found it to be a big deal. I think you got a point. I think there's not enough money, and, you know, they can kind of pick and choose what shows they're going to do. The rest of us are just dying to get on stage.
Amen.
So.
Chris?
I think that in a world where every year, every Halloween, I have to see something about some frat having some sort of blackface themed party, you cannot call campuses PC.
Right.
Like these guys, boy, maybe their comedy doesn't resonate with this generation. Maybe they need to go to amphitheaters where the money is. That's where they'll be funny.
Well said.
Chris Thompson and Pam Wirtz are local comedians. And where can we find you, Pam?
I co-produce and host a monthly show at the Syracuse Funny Bones called Chicks Are Funny. We just celebrated our two-year anniversary. So pretty proud about that. All-female show running 2 years.
Yvonne Conti.
Okay. You got to get online. Are you online?
I am.
Where are you online?
I am. There's either PamWirtz.com or Facebook. My comedian page is Pam Wirtz.
Very good. Chris Thompson.
I am all over the internet. I'm at Crons of Non. That's like Chronicles of Nonsense. On Twitter, on Instagram, I host a weekly show at Buddha Pub at 10:30. Actually, tonight, every Thursday. So come on down. It's an open mic.
At Buddha Pub.
Buddha Pub.
Where's that?
It's on Gregory Street behind the German House.
Very good. Chris, thanks very much for taking the time. Nice to meet
you
and looking forward to seeing more of your work. Same as you, Pam Wirtz.
Thanks.
Tom, I guess I'll say the same about you.
I love
it's always great to see you, my friend. Great panel, and you know, I'm glad to see we don't have to agree on everything, but I think we do like to laugh.
Yeah.
And we do like the work that these folks are doing. Chris, Pam, Amy Schumer, Jerry Seinfeld, and more. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Val LaBanca and Caitlin Madison behind the glass for us today. You're listening to member-supported public radio.